Hi there, my name is Emiliana Corrin. For the past 2 years, I've been on a journey, getting involved in youth leadership and community work. I've met some pretty incredible people along the way who've challenged me, taught me, and shaped how I see the world. I'm still figuring things out, like everyone else, but I've been so lucky to cross paths with these change builders. I have sat down with each of them, asked them questions about their own journeys, and have given you the opportunity to listen in. Hopefully, by the time the episode ends, you'll have learned some lessons that it took me several years to understand. It'll serve as a blueprint whether you're a youth, an adult, a mentor, and whether you're experienced or just getting started in your own journey. In today's episode, I'm going to be taking you through a conversation I had with one of my dear friends, Ankita. Ankita and I met at the American Legion Auxiliary's Girls State. This opportunity joined together hundreds of girls across the state of Georgia towards the goals of running a mock state. Both Ankita and I are very ambitious political people. So this conversation centered mainly around those themes of civic engagement and youth empowerment in those spaces that are normally adult-led. So why don't we go ahead and listen in? One of the things that I thought was really interesting about your profile that I oftentimes don't see in advocates that are like so big in politics is how you're so big on creative writing and how you share your poetry and literary work and how that speaks a lot about how personal voice affects politics in today's age.
I've used poetry to get into rooms that I wouldn't get into just on the basis of my own position. For example, I spoke at No Kings ATL to a crowd of like 30,000 people. And that was only because of my position as a poet, not because of my position in HSBA or in any other nonprofit or work that I do.
You use a lot of intersectionality in between your race, your gender, and all those different components. They kind of blend into your narratives. So I wanted to ask about how you define this role of personal voice and creative expression.
Personal voice is just like cultivating your own identity, because for me, for a lot of people, poetry and arts is their way to like start caring about the world around them. As you said, like a lot of intersectionality occurs there. And they're more open to like artistic interpretation rather than like overt like partisanship, if that makes sense.
How do you approach mobilizing young people across such a broad spectrum of political engagement and political ideology?
Partisan organizing, youth feel very like connected to this partisan ideology, so it doesn't feel particularly hard. You just have to find the right people, because people can get very easily turned off by the Democrat or Republican label. And that's where nonpartisan comes in which people are a lot more able and willing to attend, because parents aren't like, why are you going to this Republican or Democrat town hall? Why are you working for so-and-so legislator? But you say it's nonpartisan and you're working with people from across the aisle. You can't say there's an issue with it. So obviously, like, nonprofits are a little bit more free in what you can do and what you can like push, if that makes sense. Partisan organizing is very much focused on getting the next person elected, but both of them have their pros and cons, really, and I've enjoyed being in both spaces, really.
You mentioned earlier that you were working with a lot of organizations centered on AAPI, and you're pretty big about elevating the marginalized voices in traditionally exclusive spaces. But you're also here in the South, in Georgia. This is a swing state. Why do you think AAPI representation is crucial right now, especially when it comes to campaigning or organizing here in the South?
Asian Americans, along with Latinos, are probably the biggest growing demographic in the United States in certain areas, but they're also the most targeted. That, among just like general distrust of brown people specifically because of Islamophobia, and then also distrust of anyone who looks Chinese because of Sinophobia, like all these different phobias and like hatred that is directly like pointed at Latinos and Asian Americans is why I feel like it's so important to continue to show your face in these spaces.
We met at Girls State. This was a very interesting experience, I think, for both of us. And at least for me, it was the first time I was really put into a room with people that I didn't necessarily agree with. In my school, we have a no politics rule where like talking about politics just isn't a thing. So this really was the first time where I disagreed with people, and the only thing we could talk about was what we disagreed on. Both of us did, however, run for the senator role. I don't want to spoil anything, but we did not go to Girls Nation. How has that affected your attitude towards civic engagement and youth participation, organizing, all of that sphere after the experience?
Girls State definitely felt like a very amazing experience. I definitely don't think it changed too much of my politics or gave me a different experience with debate, because I've always had like spirited debates with like conservatives. To some extent, you can't force anyone to agree with you. Like at that basis, at the core, debate is not meant to force anyone to agree with you. All of that to say is that Girls State taught me a lot about like the fact that you can agree to disagree, and that disagreeing on a bill or agreeing on a bill doesn't mean that you have to disagree or hate the person. It just means that you have to understand that maybe they're not your cup of tea. Maybe you don't need to be friends, but you can also just respect them for the fact that they are a human being and they are somebody that is inherently worthy of respect regardless of what you believe or think.
The civic world can be so challenging for youth today. There's so many conversations in which, even today when we're seeing more and more youth representatives come out, it's always this conversation of like, you're not old enough, you're not experienced enough. We definitely saw this rhetoric come out recently with more younger candidates. And I think it's something really important to explore when it comes to personal writing. You kind of mentioned that.
Well, I go to conferences all the time, and oftentimes I'm the youngest person there, if not like among the youngest people there. It was a bit worse when I was like 16, 15, but now that I'm 17, I feel like there's some people that have started to like sort of replace the like age range that I was before.
It is easy to see you nowadays and think, wow, she's been doing this forever. But like everything, I'm sure there's an origin story. For most of us, that came by hand of an organization we belonged to or acquaintances who initiated us into this world. How did you first become involved with civic engagement?
My first like foray into civics was actually with like a local magazine in my area that was started by my friend. And he wanted somebody who was more involved civically to be part of the magazine. So I started going out to events and outreaching on behalf. So definitely it was the arts that got me involved. I had been organizing like an arts show of some sort with a friend, and I was looking for nonprofit sponsors, and that's sort of how people got interested in what I was doing. Unfortunately, the art show didn't actually come to fruition, but it pushed me to get more involved with campaigns and nonprofits, one of which I'm still involved with now, which is called Asian Student Alliance. They do a lot of work in hosting events and pushing students to get more civically involved, which I definitely have.
And since your first steps in organizing today, a lot has happened. I know you were very involved politically, both at your high school and in your community. Would you mind sharing a bit with the audience who might not be as familiar with your work? What kind of impact are we talking about when it comes to your organizing and advocacy work?
I completely restarted the High School Democrats of America NHPI caucus last year. We went from zero followers on social media, not even a social media account, to over 500 by the end of my term, which was 10 months or so. And we posted like 10 to 12 times a month and stuff like that. So obviously that was more like social media based, but then I also like organized events that were virtual in nature. I would reach out to like local city officials of Asian descent, state legislators. We worked with three national figures, specifically Democratic National Committee Chair Shasti Conrad from Washington State. She's also a state party chair, the Democratic Party there. and then U.S. Senator Andy Kim and Congresswoman Marilyn Strickland, who is half Black, half Korean, also from Washington State, coincidentally.
You mentioned earlier that poetry has been a way to break into the political scene in different ways. I'm sure there's a complex line to straddle between poet and activist.
For me, poetry has been a way to both break into the political scene in different ways. Like, I had like nonprofit executive directors and like a gubernatorial candidate come up to me afterwards and say, "Oh my gosh, you were so amazing. Let's connect. Let's talk." When I would have never gotten those same like introductions nor those same conversations had I not pitched performing poetry. I'm trying to do a project in which we partner with performance venues across the nation to host like artivism events, like in which 10 or so poets from like various different metro cities perform poetry based off a certain topic. For example, gun violence prevention or abortion access or healthcare.
Right. But what about all the young persons who they're listening to all the things you do, the multiple engagements you have, and they think that's too much. It's way too complicated. I can't do it.
Getting involved in organizing and getting involved in nonprofits is not as hard as you think it is. It just means being a volunteer for a little bit and then moving up from there. I think a lot of people like to overthink it, but I also started as a volunteer. I started as a fellow for a campaign first, and now I work closely with that campaign and I attend their town halls and stuff. And like, obviously I still like conduct myself as a volunteer, but I've also been recognized beyond my ability to be a volunteer. So I think there's a lot of value in just finding already existing organizations that want help and have needs, and then building your network from there. Because once you're aligned with a certain cause or a certain organization, that gets you into the door a lot more than just saying, "Hi, I'm a youth interested in politics." Because they don't know what to do with you. They look at you like a science project, really. They're like, "Oh, wow, you're like 16 and in this room. That's so crazy. Wow, you speak so well for like a young person." And it just feels very patronizing. But once you have some sort of cause or some sort of idea, people are a lot more willing than you'd think to connect you to other people in the space, to donate to causes that you care about, to make something that you want to start part of their to-do list. If you can convince them that you matter or that you already align with what they believe in already.
What is your best advice for young organizers who are ready to mobilize, but they feel like their opinion won't matter, or maybe those who are struggling to find the most effective channel to elevate their voices?
Don't start by starting something yourself. Start by getting involved with already existing organizations. For example, one of my friends is the national officer of the Junior Economics Club, and then she built her like resume up by starting off as a general member, then she became leadership, and then she went on to national. Organizing doesn't have to be like starting your own giant national nonprofit. Like, that's not how anything has ever like worked out for anyone. Like, some people are just rare and they just like have a built-in network, or their parents are like hella rich or something, and they just like get them hella connected immediately. But most people are not like that, and most people who don't know where to start would be better off finding a cause they care about, whether it's housing, education, racial justice. Even if you're like a conservative, you want to get involved with conservative policies, there's pro-life organizations, there's all sorts of other things. I definitely align more with progressive causes, but I also don't think that disencouraging youth to get into politics because of their ideology is a good thing either. Because on either side of the aisle, we need more people who actually represent Gen Z, because nothing is going to fix if our generation isn't in the room and asking for things that will impact them for the next decade or the next two decades. Because most of the people in Congress won't live to see half of their mistakes come to fruition.
So perhaps run for something, perhaps volunteer for something,
I think it's valuable to get involved in any way possible, because even if you don't think you're making an impact, you are in some way, shape, or form.
Thanks for listening. I hope this conversation gave you something to think about, something to act on, and someone to become. You never really know your true potential until you get involved. So take that first step, no matter what it looks like. Until next time, keep building your change.